Interesting text. Probably you never had a sermon on it before, but the text struck me very strongly this past week when I was reading here in Proverbs. Proverbs 28:28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. This whole passage, of course, has been dealing with the contrast between the wicked on the one hand and the righteous on the other. When righteous men do rejoice, there's great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that keep the law, they that seek the Lord understand all things. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And all through this passage you've got the contrast between the wicked, who are the breakers of the law, and the righteous, who seek to honor the law. And when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. And it's our responsibility to see that the wicked don't arise. It's our responsibility to deal with the wicked. And yet, as wickedness abounds, men hide, men flee, men get scared, men don't want to do anything. And it's all right to talk about these things, beloved, just so long as it doesn't hurt you. It's all right to get into these areas and denounce the wickedness that's going on throughout the world, just so long as doing that doesn't in some way affect you, your home, your position, your job, your this or your that. But when wickedness arises and it's dominant in the land, men just flee, men just hide themselves so that they won't suffer as a result of being what they're supposed to be, just good Christians. Now, this text is a good text because it describes in a measure what's happening on every hand today. Because as wickedness arises and multiplies itself, instead of men coming out and saying, let's meet the issue, let's stand up to this wickedness, let's contend with them, they say, no, I'm going to hide. You just leave me alone. I'm going to hide. I'm getting out of this thing. You don't bother me with this. I'll stay away from church. I'll do anything to get out of this thing. And so what the apostle is saying here is that when the wicked multiply, the men won't face them and they begin to hide themselves. It's a good text. And it's applicable to what I'm going to discuss and present to you just now. Then there's a second blessed text in the Bible that I think of in connection with the material and the substance of what I'm going to say. And that is that when one suffers, we all suffer. When Christians in one section of the world are suffering, we should suffer with them. And we should bear their suffering and be concerned about their estate. We're all believers in Christ. We've all been washed by the same blood. We've all been justified by the grace of God. And there's this marvelous unity among the people of God throughout the whole world. Regardless of their color or their race or their tongue or whatever their nationality may be, all of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're members of His body, we belong to His church, and we have a responsibility. And when one is exalted, we all are happy, and when one suffers, we all suffer. And that text applies so clearly to what I'm going to say to you tonight. I want to bring before you some material that I wish that every preacher in this country would take into his pulpit and preach about it to his people. The strange silences which seem to abide around us. The story back of this, of course, is that when Arthur Mickiewicz was here in this country in February and March of this year as the guest of the National Council of Churches, he had that midnight ride with Paul Voronoff, and Paul Voronoff was here and told his story to you people. And among the things which Arthur Mickiewicz told Paul about, he asked him to get the November issue of the Journal of the Department of Justice of the Soviet government, November 1962. He told him that in that he would find the amended decrees or the amended sections to the criminal code as adopted by the Supreme Soviet. And he asked him to get it. And he says, when you get it, he says, let the Americans file a complaint with the United Nations against the Soviet government for their denials of religious liberty. And if you'll remember the story of Paul Voronoff, he said that when Mickiewicz told that to him, he says, there'll be no use. He says, there's no use taking anything like this to the United Nations because the communists are all in there and you won't get anywhere. And so Paul Voronoff says, well, then we are finished. We are finished. Paul told us the story, and so we have sought in various ways to try to locate this document. Paul himself went to New York. He searched out some of the places there in the communist areas. We made other contacts, and I can't tell you tonight where we found one of these journals, but we got a copy in Russian. And I want to tell you, it is utterly, utterly terrifying to read what has been done and what the law is in Russia tonight in regard to any kind of religious assembly or get-together. In fact, I'm going to read you from this. I gave this away on the broadcast. We're going to publish it in the Beacon with a complete translation of it, because the material that is here ought to be known by every single Christian in the United States of America. Of course, a little of the background might be helpful at this point. We all know of the Communist Revolution in 1917 when the Bolsheviks took over. It was a bloody revolution. The Communists came to power. They are sworn to destroy religion. They are atheists. They have no God. And everything that they've sought to do over there has been to destroy religion and to enthrone this materialistic concept of life and to repudiate God. And the great enemy of it, the great opponent of it, those who should lead the struggle against it ought to be Christians. And the Christians have suffered and suffered. They've been slaughtered by the millions. Literally millions of them, especially Khrushchev himself, was responsible for the whole liquidation of the church in the Ukraine, the artificial famine which was created there and all. And tonight in Russia, there are very few churches, very, very few churches at all. In Moscow, a city of 7 million people, there's only one Protestant church. It's called the Evangelical Baptist Church, that we've heard so much about. And young Alexis Stoyan is the secret police member who runs the thing there, according to Arthur Mickiewicz. The same Mickiewicz who told us about this document, which we now have, told us that Stoyan was the member of the secret police who ran the Baptist church in Moscow. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. But the awful suffering, the awful bloodshed, the awful martyrdom, the awful destruction of the Christian church in Russia since 1917. One of the darkest, bloodiest chapters in all the history of the Christian church. It has been said, and I think it's absolutely true, that there are more Christian martyrs in the 20th century than in any other century in the history of the church. and communism is responsible for most of it. And yet, in spite of all of this, in spite of all of this knowledge, our government proposes that we make a treaty with this Khrushchev on this question of testing. Our concept of religious liberty, our concept of morality, our concept of righteousness, our concept of freedom, all of these marvelous concepts which we have embraced in this country and made a part of our life and our heritage, these things should forbid any such kind of an agreement or negotiation with the power of this nation. Our people should say no. But now I have this document. I'm going to read you from it, and then I'm going to just recreate for you what sort of a condition it would be like if in the city of Collingswood tonight you lived under these restrictions and under a criminal code of this nature. I have here translations from this article. The article is from the journal, the official journal of the Ministry of Justice and the Supreme Court of the RSFSR. That's the initials that we have here. It's the Russian Soviet Federated Socialist Republic. Those are the initials. And we have here the amendments. I'll read you this. In particular, the Criminal Code of 1960 of the Russian Soviet Federated Socialist Republic, Statute Number 227, has made it a crime against the state to organize or to lead such religious organizations. The revised law, amendments to the Criminal Code of the Russian Soviet Federated Socialist Republic, as adopted July the 25th, 1962, by the Supreme Soviet. That's your Supreme Soviet that Khrushchev runs. The contents of the statute of the Criminal Code has been substantially changed and clarified. The number of persons held accountable under this statute has been increased. The wording of this law has been changed to conform with the criminal code of other Soviet republics. So the whole of the Soviet Union, the whole thing has been unified under this 227. Now, part one of the statute of 227 of the Criminal Code underlines the responsibility and punishment for organizing or leading a group of persons under the pretext of religious preaching, religious instruction, and conduct of religious rituals. In other words, if you're going to try to get a group together and preach to them, if you're going to give any kind of religious instruction to anybody, if you're going to have any religious ritual, that is, you're going to go through prayer and you're going to sing some songs, you're going to have any kind of religious ritual. Now, this code of July the 25th was amended and has fixed the responsibility and the guilt and the punishment of anybody who is guilty of anything of this kind. And then here's some of the specifics stated under it. First, that a circle of persons should meet together as a religious body, should in any way organize themselves under the pretext of preaching, or religious teaching, or the conduct of any religious activity. Second, the activities of the group associated together encroach upon the rights of the individual and represent a menace and danger to society. If you have anything to do with one of these little church organizations, you're encroaching on the right of the individual. And this represents a menace and a danger to the society, to society itself. Mm-hmm. And then here are some of the details of the code outlined here. Causing injury to the health of individuals. Religious prayers, religious rituals cause substantial injury to the health of individuals. Physical as well as mental. In the year 1959, a group of 80 persons mentally ill, members of a religious organization, were admitted to the Don Itz of Black Mental Hospital. From this number, 24 believers died as a result of exhaustion of the nervous system because of long, drawn-out, continuous religious prayers. Well, they probably died because of the way the Russians treated them. Injury of health is also caused by a religious ritual of water baptism conducted by the Baptists and other religious groups. This religious ritual is performed in the cold time of the year in icy cold water. In other words, the Russians aren't going to let them baptize the Baptists in ice water over there. Long continuous religious ritual of fasting as practiced by many religious groups causes many believers extreme exhaustion and grave illness. There have been cases when leaders of some of the religious organizations committed murder. They drove many of the believers to death from hunger and from fasting, committing suicide, urging the believers to kill their children as an offering, as a sacrifice to God. Oh, this is blasphemy, ladies and gentlemen. This is absolutely terrible. All right, here's the second section, encroachment, design upon the rights and privileges of individuals. This is manifested in dishonor of the dignity of an individual. Urging of believers to resist and refuse to exercise the civil rights guaranteed by the Constitution and other laws. A number of religious organizations forbid their members to marry the unbelievers, to visit movies, theaters, clubs, listen to radio, read Soviet books, newspapers, and magazines. This is how the forces of gloom hope to isolate the religious believers from the beneficial and happy Soviet reality and the great ideals of communism, which are incompatible with religion. This is a direct quotation. Let me read that to you again, because this comes rather close to home. A number of religious organizations forbid their members to marry the unbeliever. Do you ever hear of an organization like that anywhere? To visit the movies, the theaters, the clubs, to listen to radio, to read Soviet books, newspapers, and magazines. This is how the forces of gloom hope to isolate the religious believers from the beneficial and happy Soviet reality and the great ideals of communism, which are incompatible with religion. Encroachment on the rights of citizens should be recognized as such when the children of believers are forbidden to join the Youth Red Pioneer organization. In other words, if a man should tell his child that he couldn't join the Soviet youth organization, it's a crime and it's punishable. It was correct and proper to condemn and convict, according to the Statute 227 of the Criminal Code in the city of Nahodok, Pastor H. Gordstoy, who was discouraging the children of the members of his religious group from participating in the social life, to sing Soviet songs, to join the Red Pioneer and Young Communist Organization. So here's a man, they claim, that he discouraged the children in his group not to participate in joining the Communist Youth Organization or to participate in the social life of the communist community, and he advised them not to sing Soviet songs. And so he was punished. Bringing to trial the guilty is not necessary to have a particular, it is not necessary to have a particular person with evidence and proof who refuses to serve in the military forces. All that is necessary to establish guilt is that there was a design. There was a suggestion on the part of the guilty organizers and leaders of a religious group. The parents and members of the family must be adjudged guilty when they encroach upon the rights of their children. According to the law, some religious sects are permitted to function, parenthesis, the Evangelical Christian Baptist. That's the one church in Moscow.
This fact does not imply that the leaders of these religious organizations are immune from punishment and exempt from the law, Statute 227. On the contrary, they are just as guilty as the representatives of the outlawed religious organizations and definitely held responsible without any exclusion under the Statute 227. I'd like to come back to that a little later. I'm just reading. I wanted to lay this whole groundwork for you because I want you just to get the total impact of what I'm reading to you out of the Moscow Journal of the Department of Justice and the record of the Supreme Court of the Soviet government. The first part of the statute, 227, affixes the responsibility and guilt of punishment. Drawing into a religious group an underage minor, the responsibility and guilty one may be the parents as well as any other member of the family, or any person who invites any underage minor to attend a religious function. In other words, a parent can't even invite his child or recommend that his child attend the religious function. The punishment for violation of the first part of this statute 227 of the criminal code is 5 years imprisonment or 5 years in exile. The second part of the statute, 227, holds persons responsible and guilty for activities designed to invite, to obtain, or to recruit new members for a religious group. You're going to try to get people to join the church or be members of the religious group. Allowing, permitting, or offering a private dwelling house or an apartment to be used for a religious meeting or a gathering or a religious function. Taking part in an offering or a collection for a religious meeting. The punishment in these cases is set for 3 years imprisonment or 3 years in exile. You can't even take up a collection without getting sent off for 3 years in exile. The responsibility of the court is to conduct an irreconcilable struggle against the forces of darkness and gloom who cripple not only the human soul but as well as the lives of the people. Now that's the heart of this article. That is the substance of it. Now let's just go back for a moment or two, and I want to point out some of the terrible propaganda that was given to us in this country when the Russians were here as the guests of the National Council of Churches. But before I do that, I'd like to point out to you that these amended criminal code statutes, from which I have just read you the substance as reported in this journal from Moscow, is dated July the 25th, 1962. That's when the Supreme Soviet made these changes. It was published in the November issue of this journal, which we now have. July the 25th, 1962 was just 1 month before Dr. Eugene Carson Blake and this official delegation of the National Council of Churches arrived in Moscow for a 3 weeks goodwill exchange visit. And so during the last of August and over through the first week of September, Dr. Blake and the National Council leaders were being ushered around Russia on a silver platter and with every kind of plush treatment handed out to them. And they came back with this story that they did have religious liberty over there in Russia. Now, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, mind you, beloved people, on the 25th of July, 1962, the Supreme Soviet amended the criminal code with these provisions, tightening up on this whole thing. And yet, the last of August of that same year, our leaders from America were over there in Russia carrying on this goodwill exchange with these men that are in charge of the churches there in Russia. It is a terrible, terrible thing. And why the preachers of the country, why are we so silent? All I can say is that when the wicked are exalted, that men hide themselves. That's what happened. Men are just hiding themselves, and this sort of information is not being given to the people. You don't read editorials about it. You don't see any articles about this in Life magazine or Time magazine. None of our magazines get into this sort of material at all. They just blot it out. We don't hear anything about this sort of thing. Arthur Mitch Getchett has to come over here as a member of this National Council delegation, and he goes off on a midnight ride with Paul Voronoff, and he opens up and says, before we came over here, we were briefed by the secret police, and young Stoyan is a secret police member, and we're reporting to him, and he says, get this issue of November 1962, get it, and when you read it, file a complaint with the United Nations against the destruction of religious liberty in Russia. And that's the way we find out about it. That's the way we discovered that such a thing is going on. Otherwise, we didn't know it at all. And then in February, these men come over here from Russia, and they go to Denver, and we had our demonstrations and our protests against them. And now, in the light of this information, this whole thing shows itself to be nothing but an unmitigated fraud. An unmitigated fraud being perpetrated against the churches of this country and against the American people. In that statement which Archbishop Nicodem made in Denver, he sat right alongside of Dr. Blake at the press conference. The National Council of Churches gave them this press conference. And in that press conference, this is what Archbishop Nicodem said, and he is indignant because there are those who say that they don't have this liberty under socialism. May I read you the entire statement? Quote, "We churchmen get indignant over the attempts of the champions of the Cold War to distort the picture of the real position of religion in our country and to try for purposes of propaganda so alien to the interest of the church to present the problems of the existence of the church in a secularized society, which are common for the whole of Christendom today, as an indication of the alleged lack of freedom of religion under the condition of socialism." Think of this man sitting there before the press in the United States and saying, "We're indignant at these Cold War propagandists for trying to tell you that we don't have freedom of religion under the conditions of socialism." And yet a member of his own party, Arthur Mitchkovich, told Paul Voronoff, "Get the Journal of the Soviets Department of Justice for November 1962. Read it and see how they've amended the criminal code and see how now they've come down upon us tighter than they've ever come before." Oh, beloved, we're witnessing a terrible, terrible thing in the land. A hoax, a fraud, a deliberate program to deceive us has been perpetrated against us here in this country. And when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. I might as well go ahead and tell you all about it, because I'll be one of the first ones shot when it all takes place. And so, no doubt about it, you can't talk like this, beloved. You can't expose this sort of thing. Oh, when these Russians were here, one of the things they said in Denver, and they said that they weren't allowed to have youth activities in the churches, but that the parents could instruct their children at home, and that they were able in home to give their children some instruction. That's what they told us. And Mr. Charles Parlin, who's one of the presidents of the World Council, a leader in the Methodist Church from the northern part of our state, he made a nice speech, and he said, "Well," he said, "maybe there's something in this that we can learn. Maybe we need to instruct our children in our homes too." And so he was quoted at a dinner, at a banquet, a noonday luncheon they had, and he was quoted as saying this, making these nice agreements with the men from Russia. "You read these decrees that I've just presented to you right now, and if a parent even gives his child religious instruction in his own home, he is subject to the penalties of this law, and he's subject to being sent off to 3 years in exile." Now let's just take a moment. Suppose this were Russia tonight. In the first place, I wouldn't be here. Might as well not make it too realistic, because I wouldn't be here, no doubt about it. You'd have some preacher here, if you had a preacher, who'd be telling you that we've got a wonderful new socialistic government that's interested in humanity and brotherhood. There are a lot of things about it maybe we don't agree with, but let's cooperate just the same. And that's the kind of a preacher you'd have in this pulpit if that day comes. But just imagine that if you would want to hold a prayer meeting in your home, if you were want to just gather a group of people in your apartment for a prayer meeting, where you would read the Bible and have prayer, just a little religious gathering, just a religious section for a short time, you would be liable, according to this code, to 3 years in prison or 3 years in exile. Allowing, permitting, or offering a private dwelling, a house, or an apartment to be used for a religious meeting. You couldn't hold a religious meeting. The owner of the apartment in which you live couldn't permit a religious meeting in that apartment. If he did, he would be subject to 3 years imprisonment and or exile. Now suppose you want to take up a collection to advance the work of the church. You know what they're telling us on every hand? They say we have separation of church and state over there. The church offerings are taken by the people, and the people give their offerings, and the church is supported by the free will offerings of the people. Under this new criminal code, any religious collection that is taken and you make a contribution to it, you are liable to punishment for 3 years in prison. That's it. Now get over to the 5-year section of this code. And in the 5-year section of this code, these are the things you couldn't do. Drawing together a religious group, an underage minor. In other words, you had a young people's meeting, had a group meeting of our 20th century Reformation overcomers. If you tried to have such a meeting as that, they could carry you off for 5 years. The responsibility and guilty ones may be the parents, as well as any other members of the family or persons. If the parents want to bring in a group of young people to their home and have a little hymn sing or something else, 5 years in prison, 5 years in exile. Any underaged minor who may be invited by any person to attend a religious function is subject to 5 years in prison or in exile. Now, these are the amended provisions of the criminal code in Moscow by the Supreme Soviet, which is Nikita Khrushchev's outfit, on July the 25th, 1962. Do you ever hear the President of the United States say anything about this? Do you ever hear anybody in high political position in our country object to this sort of thing? No. Oh, when the wicked rise, and they're rising, men go into hiding. Dark, brutal, terrible tyranny. No religious freedom, no privileges of having a prayer meeting, no privileges of helping the young people or advising the young people, nothing like that. And when these churchmen came to this United States of America and they told us that they could teach their children in their private homes, they were absolutely telling us something which was not true. It's terrible. Of course, I wonder if the American people really knew this, if they'd do anything about it, or if they'd care very much. We become so surfeited with our comforts and so overburdened with our pleasures that we don't care. Later this month, up in Rochester, the Central Committee of the World Council of Churches is going to have a meeting. All these Russians are coming in. They'll all be here. While we were in Montreal the other day, one of our men went over to the American Embassy about something. When he got there, the Romanians were there getting their visas to enter the United States. Senator Dodd down in Washington from Connecticut made a speech. He's calling for an investigation. He says these churchmen are coming over. He mentioned the Romanians, and they're trying to get the Romanian churches here in this country to come back and recognize the Moscow Patriarch. They're coming in here and carrying on their program to subvert us and tie up these church groups all under the Moscow Patriarch, which is tied in, of course, with this whole communist thing. They are working day and night to tie all this thing up. Frankly, beloved, it just makes you so sick. It just makes you so sick that our country could permit itself to become victimized in this matter. We're just being victimized, that's all. One lonely voice comes over here, Arthur Mitskevich. He gets a hold of Paul Voronoff down in Austin, Texas. Has his confidence, and he opens up and he tells him, he says, get it, get that journal, get your hands on it and read it and see how they've amended this thing, and then file a complaint with the United Nations. These men who went to Moscow representing the National Council, Dr. Eugene Carson Blake, did they come back with any reports about this Supreme Soviet affair? No. If they knew about it, they haven't said one single word about it. If they're aware of it, they haven't given any indication that they're aware of it. Now, they may be, but they've just kept silent. It's a part of the program. Just keep silent. But any kind of bestirring in religious circles in Russia whatsoever, which would give an advantage to prayer or to faith or to religion, the new criminal code is clamped down tighter than ever before. And it's done under Khrushchev. And it's done on July the 25th, 1962, just a little over 1 year ago when this took place. Is it nothing to us? But the Christian religion is just being blotted out. Is it nothing to us as a great nation that believes in God to go out and make agreements with a nation that repudiates God? Now, when I see these Siberian peasants coming out of Siberia and coming to the door of the American embassy and knocking and begging for some kind of refuge, I can understand it a little better. When I see this kind of amendments to the criminal code in the Soviet Union. And are we going to accept this sort of thing? Are we going to recognize this sort of thing? Oh, beloved, any nation that treats religion like this, any nation that denies liberty like this, ought not to have the recognition of the government of the United States. We ought not to give them recognition. We should refuse to do it as a people who believe in God and who have some respect for religion and guarantee the free exercise of that religion in this land of ours. When I get facts and material and documentation like this in our hands, you just want to go out and spread it on the housetops. You just want to go out and announce it to everybody all over the world. This is what the communists are doing. And this is their program. And they'll do it here if they get a chance. Just think, you could come to church tonight. You didn't have any police spying on you. You can go home tonight and have a prayer meeting in your parlor if you want to. You have a hymn sing if you want to, and the police won't be over there. You couldn't do anything like that in Russia. Brutal, dark, terrible, godless tyranny over the hearts and the minds of men. One third of the earth is under that tyranny tonight. And yet we have a president down here that says that we must sign an agreement now with them. And that's the beginning of greater accomplishments in our relationship to them. Ladies and gentlemen, beloved, tonight, I don't want to have anything to do with an outfit that treats the Christian religion like this. And everybody that's a Christian in this country ought to say the same thing. And they ought to say it because they love the Lord and they love liberty and they love what God has given them. What do these restraints do? They forbid the preaching of the gospel. They forbid a father telling his son about his Savior. What do these restrictions do? They forbid a man taking of what little substance he may have and saying, I will give the first fruits of what I have to the cause of the gospel. You can't take a collection. It's more apparent to me tonight than ever before. That one church over there in Moscow, they just got one of them. It's run by the secret police. The whole thing is a first-class fraud. That's all it is. Natalie Stevenson go over there. He's a Unitarian. Apparently doesn't believe very much, but they let him stand in the pulpit when he gets over there. And he comes back and tells us that they've got some religious freedom. They've got some religious services of worship going on over there. Billy Graham goes over there. And they wouldn't let Billy even get in the pulpit because Billy was a tourist. And since he came as a tourist, he couldn't preach. So Billy sat down in the pew with all the other folks that were crowded in there. And Billy said he was in one of the most wonderful services he's ever been in before. The people were weeping some of them. The whole thing is a first-class fraud to deceive Billy Graham, Adelaide Stevenson, and anybody that goes over there. It's run by the secret police. And of a city of 7 million people, they just permit the one show to go on. And good Mr. Arthur Mitskevich, what is going to happen to him? I don't know. But the National Council brought him over here. They brought him over here to advance their cause of peaceful coexistence, misleading the American people as to what the conditions are. And he was able to get aside and drop these few little words. And one of his words was, get a hold of the November issue, 1962, of the report of the Department of Justice and the Supreme Court and look at the amendments to the criminal code and then file a complaint with the United Nations. Isn't it wonderful how Romans 8:28 overcomes a lot of these things? They brought these Russians over here thinking they were going to mislead the American people. And now one of them was able to put our hands on the document that I'm giving you people tonight. And if we could just get it across the country, if we could just get it to the people of this country. Oh, every preacher in this nation, beloved, ought to take his pulpit and get up and preach like this. Because if conditions like this prevail, he can't preach. He'll never be able to stand and tell you people that Jesus Christ loves you and he'll forgive you of your sins and you can be saved if you'll trust him. And the darkness that's fallen on Russia tonight because of the tyranny of Nikita Khrushchev and this materialistic socialism. And we don't want it. We repudiate it. We hate it. We're against it. And we should fight it with everything we have. Because if it rolls on across this whole world, it crushes out not only the torch of liberty, but it crushes out the opportunity that men may have to tell others of Jesus Christ. You know what we decided to do this week? These men were all here. Remember, we used to have this Bible balloon project the ICC started. We carried on for 2 or 3 years, and we let it lag. Since this criminal code's gone into effect, we're going to raise a collection, and we're going to send some gospel portions over that Iron Curtain again, come what may. We're going to do it. And we're going to send the Bible, and if anything comes of it, you know what happened? We learned, and I didn't know anything about it, however, until I read Robert Welch's book, The Politician. And in his book, The Politician, it says that Eisenhower and Bull Gannon discussed the mailing of the Bible balloons over the Iron Curtain, and Eisenhower promised that he would see that it would stop. We didn't know that. We just stopped it because we ran out of funds. But it's in that book. And we're going to go ahead and send some more balloons over the Iron Curtain. And we're going to get some gospel Johns and a few other gospels, and we'll let them fall down over there and let a few of these people get a hold of it. And maybe they can hide it, but in the secret moments they can read the gospel and maybe some of them will be saved before the age of grace is closed.
Now I must stop. But here's this USSR publication for June. You haven't seen it, but I've used it. The Protestant churches in the USSR. And this is put out down here in Washington. Here they are. Here's your Baptist church, one church and only church. Same old show. And it's written by Alexander Karev, General Secretary of the Union of Evangelical Baptist Churches. And Karev's been identified as the secret police way back there. He's the old man. Young Alexis Stoyan's taking his place now. But you know, in this article, June, he says here, not too long ago, council members Alexis Stoyan and Arthur Mitschkevich toured the United States with a delegation of Christian churchmen. So they mentioned Stoyan, and they mentioned Mitschkevich, and Mitschkevich identified Stoyan. And Mitschkevich told us about this journal of the Department of Justice, and we've got the information. And now I'm giving you this story. But the Soviet embassy down here in Washington, D.C., features this church in its June issue, this Baptist church of which I've just spoken. Propaganda, propaganda, deceitful propaganda, lying propaganda, all of it's designed to mislead the churches, mislead the people, to soften us up and lead us down this road where we'll say, well, maybe they're not too bad over there. We can get along with them for a little while. Let's sign some kind of an agreement with them. Beloved, we do not sign a covenant with the devil for any reason. And God's people through the centuries have believed that. And they have stood for these things. Now, don't anybody go out of this church tonight and say, well, Mr. McIntyre didn't preach the gospel. I'm sorry. I have preached the gospel to you tonight. But I have not only preached the gospel to you tonight, but I have told you that you have brethren of yours over in the Iron Curtain countries that are suffering under the darkest tyranny this world has seen, and you need to be concerned about them. And we need to help them. And not only that, I've not only preached the gospel to you people tonight, but I have told you what tyranny does in snuffing out the gospel. And this terrible power of darkness saying that if you have a prayer meeting in your front room, you go 3 years to prison or into exile. That if you invite a minor to go to a church service, you go 3 years to prison or to exile. And I've told you exactly what happens and what will happen as this communist conspiracy moves on out around this world. Last Sunday night I was here preaching, and did I get into the subject? What was it I was talking about? Anyhow, one man went out the door and he came back and he says, well, I'm sorry you didn't preach the gospel tonight. He said, if I'd heard Billy Graham, I'd have heard the gospel. And I said, sir, you got exactly what you needed to get. He got exactly what he needed to get. Billy Graham goes over to Moscow and gives a nice little pat to this Russian church and says he sat there and he saw the text, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sure, they use the Bible text as a part of their fraud and their deception. Sure, they do this sort of thing. And men like Billy Graham were taken in by it. And when this man Stoyan came over here, you know, and I met him in Paris, and he came out to Denver, won't you come to Moscow? Won't you come to Moscow? 5 times he invited me to come to Moscow. I'm not going over there. I know what it's like without going. And furthermore, I'm afraid to go. They might do something to me. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we preach tonight with a broken and grieving heart. Oh, we see this wonderful land of ours asleep and indifferent. We see these major moves to defraud us and to deceive us and to mislead us, and we see it taking place. And oh, so many Americans are indifferent and they're being duped by it all. Oh, we thank thee for Arthur Mitschkevich tonight, that he did drop the word and we were able to follow through on these things. And we found out that what he was telling us was true. And oh, God, when he said, we have no hope, we have no hope, wilt thou help these remaining Christians? Some of them have already compromised and they've sinned and they've failed, but oh, God, wilt thou have mercy on them?
And now as we undertake to send more of these Bibles over the Iron Curtain by balloon, these gospel portions in these different languages, oh God, may it help them, and may it also do something to the world at large. Oh God, help us in the broadcast this week. And may this great church of ours be a church made up of people who, when the wicked arise, will not hide, but that we will stand out in the broad daylight and let everybody know that we are sons of God, and that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that we intend to preach the gospel everywhere. For Christ's sake, amen.